Welcome to the Deep Dive, where your shortcut, really your weekly insight into what's happening in the catastrophe bond and insurance-linked securities, or ILS, marketplace. We pull the top stories directly from Artemis.bm. They're the leading publisher and data provider in the space for the week ending September 14th, 2025. Our job is to unpack the key news, connect the dots for you on how global risk is being managed, how it's being transferred. Okay, let's dig in. So, first up, this really fascinating, almost paradoxical situation. You've got these sharply different views on third-party capital. Munich Re, for instance, huge player, right? They were at the Monte Carlo rendezvous saying cat bonds. Well, they aren't really helping close the insurance protection gap. Yeah, that gap between economic losses from disasters and what insurance actually covers. They really hammered home their independence from outside capital.
Yeah, and what's truly fascinating there is how starkly that contrasts with other giants. You look at Swiss Re, Esquire, Hanover Re, they were basically saying the opposite. They talked about relying on, even wanting more third-party capital. They see it as absolutely critical for shrinking those same protection gaps.
So it's a fundamental disagreement.
It really looks like it. It's like two different philosophies on capital efficiency, market stability, maybe. One side seems more traditional, perhaps wanting more control. The other sees capital markets, ILS, as vital for expanding coverage, tackling these huge systemic risks. It'll be interesting to see which strategy, you know, plays out better long term.
Definitely one to watch. And these differing views, they must connect somehow to the actual market conditions we're seeing. Klaus Sapelta, the CUO at Lumen Re, he described it as a measured softening in property cat reinsurance. That was for the first half of 2025. But he was quick to add, it's not a full pricing reversal. Selectivity is still the name of the game.
Right. And if you add some other perspectives, KBW analysts, after their Monte Carlo meetings, suggested property cat pricing might be, flat to maybe down 15%.
50% for the January 2026 renewals.
That's what they're thinking, yeah. Driven largely, it seems, by reinsurers wanting to grow their books a bit. And Guy Carpenter, the broker, they also see demand picking up for retro capacity.
Retrocession, that's reinsurance for reinsurers, basically.
Exactly, helping them manage their own exposures. But Guy Carpenter also expects retro rates to soften. So yes, softening, but it's, well, it's nuanced, not a race to the bottom.
Okay, so measured softening, but also growth ambitions. That kind of tension often leads to innovation, doesn't it? And this is where it gets really interesting. We saw Anstar executives reporting strong ILS fund interest in their liquidity solutions. These are ways for ILS investors to maybe exit their positions more easily or rebalance things.
Yeah. Liquidity is becoming a much bigger theme. And Swiss Re's Jean-Louis Monnier echoed that, didn't he? He highlighted how crucial secondary market trading and standardized deal processes are. That's essential if the cat bond and the wider ILS market are going to keep growing smoothly.
It shows the market is maturing, right? Moving beyond just the primary issuer.
Absolutely. And look at Nephila Capital, huge name in ILS management. They just got the green light in principle for Lloyd's Syndicate 2359. And the interesting part, it's their first syndicate with a pure property catastrophe focus. That signals very specialized demand right within the Lloyd's market.
So alternative capital is really embedding itself within traditional structures now.
Completely. And that ties into the PwC report, too, which showed the legacy market dealing with old insurance liabilities is also maturing. And guess what? Alternative capital, ILS structures, they're playing a bigger and bigger role there, too, even providing solutions for ILS funds sometimes.
And with all this evolution and innovation, what about the people, the talent needed? Jason Sykes from 2020 Search mentioned a rebound in ILS recruitment. Demand's up for business development, analytics roles.
Yeah, that definitely signals growth and opportunity. But it could also hint at, you know, a potential pinch point for finding really specialized talent down the line. It's something to keep an eye on.
Makes sense.
And then, shifting gears slightly, look at the new frontiers. Howden Rhee was talking about buyers and sellers being genuinely energized by the opportunity in casualty ILS.
Casualty ILS that's tackling those longer-term risks, like liability claims, things that take years to develop.
Exactly. Professional liability, environmental stuff, risks that are traditionally very tricky for insurance because of the long time horizon. ILS is starting to find ways to unlock that. Howden sees this transforming the legacy reinsurance market too, moving away from just one-off deals towards more strategic long-term partnerships. It's about making tricky risks investable.
Wow. So a really dynamic picture emerging this week. What does this all mean for you listening in? We've touched on these diverging capital views, this measured softening, real innovation in liquidity and new structures like the Nephila Syndicate, and even expansion into casualty risk.
Yeah, so the big question to leave you with is this. you've got these mixed signals, right? Some caution, some quite aggressive expansion and innovation. How do you think this shifting balance between traditional reinsurance capital and this alternative, ILS capital, will reshape how we tackle global risk and resilience over the next year or so? What part of risk transfer might surprise us next as these different forces keep pushing and pulling?
Great questions to think about. We definitely encourage you to keep digging into these themes yourself. We'll be back next week with the latest insights. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.